Come, 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 my beloved Kripalji, the support of the suffering ones. Who else is there who can reshape my distorted fate? Sanchi's Bhajan, Aja, Aja, Aja Merde Kripalji, on page 85. Come, see what the condition of your disciples has become. Today, all the dear brothers have become torn apart. Who, today, O giver, without you, it has become dark. O beloved of Sawan, come, give us the darshan. The storm of sin is raging. Come and save us. O beloved Satguruji, except you, there is no other support. In this burning world, the fire is raging. O giver, shower grace and bring the fountains of nectar. You are the protector of the Sangat. And Ajayb says one thing. I have left all other refuge and rely only on your support. Come, 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 my beloved Kripalji, the support of the suffering ones. Who else is there who can reshape my distorted fate?
Aja, aja, aja mere kirpalji, tu ki aade sahare, he kon jo bigari meri takdeer savare. Aja, aja, aja mere kirpal ji, dukhiya de sahare, he kon jo bigari meri takdeer. Ave ki tere sevakanda hal ki hoya, he hal ki hoya. Ave ki tere sevakanda hal ki hoya, he hal ki hoya. Aaj keru keru ho gaye ne sab veer pyare, he kon jo bigari meri takdeer savare. Aja, aja, aja mere kirpal ji, dukhiya de sahare, he kon jo bigari meri takdeer savare. Aaj tere baajo data ji ander ho gaya, ander ho gaya. Aaj tere baajo data ji ander ho gaya, ander ho gaya. Devo darshan aake ji sawan de pyare, he kon jo bigari meri takdeer savare. Aja, aja, aja mere kirpal ji, dukhiya de sahare, he kon jo bigari meri takdeer. papandineri celie bacavo aike, bacavo aike. Papandineri celie bacavo aike, bacavo aike. Na tere baju hor sahara sat guru ji piyare. He kon jo bigari meri akadi savare. Aja, aja, aja mere kirpal ji dhukiya de sahare. He kon jo bigari meri takdis. Is duniya sardi baldi de bambar hai macha rahe Is duniya sardi baldi de bambar hai macha rahe Bambar hai macha rahe Deya karo data ji lavo amrita puhari He kon jo bigari meri takdir savari Aja Aja, aja mere kirpal ji dhukiya de sahare He kon jo bigari meri takdis Sangat da tu he raka ji ek arj ajaib kare ek arj ajaib kare Sangat da tu he raka ji ek arj ajaib kare Ek arj ajaib kare Mera kiya asara Tere chade hor sahare Hey kon jo bigari Meri takdir savare Aja Aja, aja mere kirpal ji dukiya de sahare He kon jo bigari meri takdir savare
Come, 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 my beloved Kripalji, the support of the suffering ones. Who else is there who can reshape my distorted fate? And we'll begin today, continuing reading in the book In Search of the Gracious One. And Sanchi says, Once, while I was in the army, at a wedding, I met a colonel who was my relative, although he did not know me personally. At that time, I was only an ordinary soldier of very low rank. When he recognized that I was his relative, he asked me, "Why don't you come to me, and I will help you in getting a big post?" I told him, "No, that was all right." I told him that Guru Nanak said that we should not ask for anything from anybody because whatever is in our fate, our destiny, we are going to get that. Poverty or wealth, sickness or health, happiness or sadness, this is all written in our fate, and we have to enjoy that. Therefore, there is no need to complain about all these worldly things. Guru Nanak has also written that we should ask God only that we should be united with him. For ages and ages, we have been separated from him. We have been given many forms, and in each body we were always getting and getting from him, but we are not giving anything to him. Therefore, now we want to give him something, and that is meditation. We should pray only that we should meditate and become one with him. On another occasion, when I was in the army, I suffered some injury and was losing blood. The doctor could not help me, but he knew that I was a disciple of Baba Bishandas. He told me, "Well, you have a guru, so you can tell the guru to stop the loss of blood. You should go and tell him, and you should pray for this thing." Lovingly, I told that doctor that my guru knows everything, but this injury is because of my past karmas, and I have to suffer that. After I was treated and felt better, I went to Baba Bishandas. However, I was still thin and pale, so Baba Bishandas asked me what had happened. I told him, "You are all conscious. You know everything about me, so why are you asking me?" And then he asked me, "Have you written some letter or telegrammed or cabled me about your condition?" I replied, "You know everything about me, so why are you asking me?" He wanted to test me like that, but I never complained. I never appealed to him, "I am having this suffering, please help me." Once I went to my commanding officer and asked for leave because I wanted to see Baba Bishandas. He granted me leave but said that when I went to my master, I should also remember him over there. I said, "No, that would not be the true thing. I don't want to remember you over there. I don't even want to take a message from you to my master because this is a very sacred time for me. Over there, I only want to remember my master and God." During this time, I was doing the Simran of Hey Ram, Hey Gobind, and I was doing that constantly. I was convinced that the strength or power that one can get from the devotion of God, one could not get from any food that exists in this world. I realized that heavy people do not have any strength in them. If one keeps one's body light, if one preserves one's body and takes good care of one's body, one will always remain strong. With this strength and this lightness in my body, I used to play tricks on people. Many people were afraid to shake hands with me because I used to play a trick on them when they did. Whenever anybody was bringing his hand to shake hands with me, I would put my hand on the back of his neck and jump over him. So people were afraid to shake hands with me. Nevertheless, even though I did these kinds of tricks, I was very fond of spiritual knowledge also. Once when I was in the army, I was traveling by myself on the train. In those days in the Punjab, the law was not very well maintained, and people would rob stations and other government places. On that occasion, I got down from the train at a train station called Pusmundi, and it was nighttime. The village was 2 miles from the train station, And I had heard that people were robbed there at nighttime because there were many dacoits in that area. At that time, I was absorbed in doing the Simran of Hey Ram, Hey Gobind. And when I got off the train, I did not even notice that dacoits were sitting there, drinking wine and waiting for someone to come. When one of them approached me to take my things, I was doing Simran, and when I saw him, I just jumped over him and started running. The dacoit was not expecting such a thing from an ordinary man, and when he saw that something had jumped over him, he got upset. He thought that maybe some ghost had jumped over him. So he called one of his companions, saying, "Something has jumped over me. I don't know if it was a man or a ghost, and you should catch him." The dacoits had been planning to rob someone who got off the train, and they had a very well planned out scheme. Some members of their team were stationed ahead of where the first man was, and that first man called out to those others who were ahead of him. However, the next man was also unable to catch me, so they blocked the bridge at the end of the canal. Well, I just swam across the canal and then ran fast until I came to the village. There I saw a fire, and there was the hut of a sadhu, so I went there. The dacoits came searching for me, and they also came to the hut of the sadhu. They told the sadhu, "Something jumped over our friend, and after that he came in this direction, but we don't know where he has gone. We don't even know whether he was a man or a ghost." Then they looked at me, and when they saw me, they thought that maybe I was the man they had encountered earlier, for my clothes were wet and in very bad condition. However, I was not at all afraid. I was not at all afraid, for now I was with that sadhu, and they wouldn't do anything to me. Moreover, because my clothes were wet, it was easy for them to know that I was the man. So I told them, "Yes, I am that man. I was doing Simran when I jumped over that man, and when I was running. That is why I didn't have any fear. I was so absorbed in Simran that I didn't feel any fear, and only because of that Simran that I was doing, I was able to get rid of that dacoit. Such strength comes through Simran that one becomes fearless and can face any danger that comes. If one is chased by some thief or dacoit, because of the fear, one won't feel strong enough to run. But if he is doing Simran, he won't feel any fear, and he can face any danger. Even though the Simran that I had was not given by a perfect saint, still it had so much strength that I was able to do miraculous things like this. Moreover, if one gets the Simran from a perfect saint, behind that Simran, the charging of the great saint is working. If you also do that Simran, there's nothing in this world that you cannot do. The people do not know how much strength the Simran has. They do not know the value of Simran, and they do not know what is the reality of the Simran." We'll leave off there. And as this is the occasion of our annual October retreat to commemorate the founding of Santpani Ashram and the Master's visit here in 1972, I'm going to read some passages from Russell's new book that's just been published. We've given in the announcements about it. It's called Stumbling Toward God, The Years with Kripal. And it isn't sold out yet. You can still get a copy at the book table. And it's also now, I'm pretty sure I'm correct, it's now available online at the Santpani Ashram website. So let me give you a little summary, sort of backstory to what I'm going to read. And I know that many of you know this story, but it's a good story. So after Russell got initiated, after some time, he began leaving off doing the meditation. And for some time, he didn't meditate at all. And then when he did decide, well, I got to go back on the path, he started meditating and was shocked to find that he could no longer see anything inside. He said that he had had what felt like easy access to, you know, getting experiences in the meditation, but now it's like the door was shut. There was just nothing there, and it was quite a shock to him. But he took it as, well, this is Master's will, but this is the true thing, so I've got to do it. So he kept on, you know, trying to meditate. Anyway, Master came on tour in 1963, and he agreed at Russell's invitation to come and visit at Santpani, which at that time was Russell's personal home. It was called Santpani Farm. So Master came, and the first part of the tour was in Washington, and Russell and Judith went down there to spend a little time. And so I'll pick it up where Russell says, "The night that we were due to leave, the Master granted us a very sweet darshan in his room and gave us prasad and talked lovingly about coming to our farm. He also told us very firmly that we should stay over and attend the meditation that he was conducting the next morning. And so we did. I had never attended a group meditation conducted by the Master before and was totally unprepared for this one. It was the first of the 1963 tour. After giving us really excellent instructions, he left the room for an hour while we sat. And on returning, he questioned each person individually as to what he had seen. The problem was, as usual, I had seen nothing. I hadn't expected anything different, really, and it didn't bother me because it was what I was used to. I noticed, however, with a real sense of foreboding, that out of 100 or so people in the room, I was one of maybe 4 that hadn't seen any light at all. Person after person reeled off their experiences while I listened incredulously. Even Judith had had an experience, but not me. By the time that Master reached me, I had worked myself up into blaming the Master for not giving me anything. He looked at me. Yes? Nothing, sir. Nothing? Nothing. And he fixed me with the most penetrating gaze I had ever seen. Why not? I don't know, sir. Were you conscious of your breathing? No, sir. Did you have a headache? No, sir. Then why not? I don't know, sir. In my heart, I was thinking, aren't you supposed to know that? Isn't it your fault? And Master looked at me again. Oh, God, that gaze. Everyone else has had this thing. Why not you? I was defeated, and I said weakly, I don't know, sir. And he looked at me again. Are you initiated? Oh, God, I thought. Oh, God, doesn't he know whether I'm initiated or not? Oh, God, oh, God. Yes, sir. Did you have an experience when you were initiated? Yes, sir. If you had then, why not now? I don't know, sir. He looked at me again, a long, long look. All right. Go over, sit over there. I'll give you another sitting later. I didn't get another sitting. We had to leave too soon. In the car on the way home, all the pent-up rage and frustration and humiliation burst through, and for many minutes I'm afraid that I cursed the name of the Son of God. I can say this because I know that he has long since forgiven me. Later, of course, it became perfectly clear to me what Master had been doing with me in those minutes. He had been giving me a crash course in humility and ego smashing, which I desperately needed if there was to be any hope for me at all. He knew perfectly well, of course, exactly who I was and if I was initiated or not. Just the night before, he had assured me that he would come to our farm. But every one of his questions was aimed at breaking down a very hard rock of arrogance, which was effectively preventing any further development. Just two nights previously, I had been introduced as a group leader, much to my ego's satisfaction. To be asked by the Master himself in front of those same people if I was initiated or not was so humiliating, it was unbearable. But Masters don't fool around. They look into the heart of the disciple and give him what is required in order to bring about the greatest possible growth. Eventually, I calmed down, and even the nightmare of those minutes faded away. Remaining were the very moving recollections of the way Master looked as he moved about, the loving darshan that he had given us, and the sense of timelessness that had pervaded the whole stay, as though we had stepped out of the modern world for a few days. Anyway, we had a great deal of work to do preparing for his visit, so much work that there was literally no time for morbidity. We worked day and night. Judith and I did nothing but work on the house 12, 14 hours a day. My meditations were no good anyway, were forgotten about. But Judith kept hers up by getting by with 2 hours of sleep a night, literally. All sense of the future was lost. As far as we were concerned, the world ended on October 11th, the day that the Master was coming. Those were difficult days in many ways, but I think that they were the happiest days of my life up to that point, despite the fact that the repairs on the house involved our going into debt with absolutely no assurance of being able to pay it back. But we could see only one thing. The Master was coming. The next time we saw him was in Boston, at Mildred Pendergast's house, where he was staying. He was sitting on Millie's bed, cross-legged. His face seemed sad, and the total effect of his presence was that he seemed too large for the room. He looked at me and he asked right away, "How are your meditations?" "Oh, no." "Not so good." "Well, why not?" I started to say, "Because I've been working on the house getting ready for you," but I didn't. Somehow, something in me knew better. He looked at me. "Are you initiated?" This time, half of my mind gave up and spun off a great distance away. From what seemed like many miles, I heard my voice say, "Yes, Master." "Well, when were you initiated?" "May 1958, Master." He looked thoughtful. 5 years. That's a long time. Suddenly I realized that while his words were hard, his tone was very gentle, and I saw the love in his gaze. He asked me, very softly, "What's the use of taking the initiation if you're not going to do anything with it?" Suddenly the part of my mind that was away came back, and I felt, with that question, it's going to be all right. I looked at him. "No use, Master." But I was beginning to understand. That night, the Master gave the second of three discourses at the second church in Boston. It was difficult to follow his talk. The acoustics were bad. There was a decided echo. But if ever a biblical prophet stood in a Christian church, it was that night. 2 days later, October 10th, Master's last day in Boston and the day before he came to Sant Pani, He gave an initiation. Something very strong told me to attend that initiation, and I did. I got up early on a frosty morning and drove down to Boston, my heart singing. Master had given me peace, though I could see no reason for it. At the initiation, the first ever that I had attended with Master personally conducting, he gave me back everything I had lost and more besides. Never in my life had I swum in the ocean of light as I did on that blessed golden morning in Boston. Oh God, thank you. Oh God, thank you. I kept saying over and over, tears in my eyes. After the sitting, the master came around asking the new initiates what they had seen. He came back to the back where we older ones were sitting and asked cheerfully, "Everything all right here?" I could say nothing. I looked at him and caught his eye, and he twinkled. Oh, thank God, thank God. And it was all him. He knew all about everything and always had. The following day, he came to Sant Bani Farm, and our new life in him began. Later, it seemed that the great gulf fixed between the old and the new opened on this day. 1 24-hour period, and what changes it wrought. All the hard work and the nightmare anxiety of the previous 5 weeks faded away in the unearthly joy that those 24 hours brought. After it was over, I reflected that it was the one event in my life that had not only been as good as I could have imagined, but infinitely better. I understood for the first time what it is like to be loved, really loved, by someone who knew what I really was. I had a taste, that is, of the love of God. I had gone with our 3.5-year-old daughter, Miriam, to the nearest exit off Interstate 93 to meet him in the caravan. There was 5 or 6 cars. When we arrived at Sant Bani, I jumped out of my car and rushed over to his. Judith, with our 2-year-old son Eric in her arms, was already greeting him. He spoke to us very kindly and slowly climbed the little hill on which the house stood. When he reached the front door, he turned and looked slowly and thoughtfully over the beautiful New Hampshire landscape spread out before him. He laughed and said, very quietly, almost under his breath, "Nature is always beautiful, except when tormented by man." And then he went into the house. A little later, Judith and I were looking out the back window when we saw him walking up the little hill behind the house to a large and prominent rock under a cherry tree. He was accompanied only by Bibi Hardevi, called Taiji, his housekeeper who looked after his needs. When he reached the rock, he took off his turban and lay down on the grass, Taiji squatting nearby. Judith and I watched wide-eyed. We nudged each other in suppressed excitement. What happened then was surely the most lighthearted satsang ever. As the disciples discovered where he was, they gathered around him. There were about 15 or 20. While he sat on the rock and put them in meditation, then tossed them prasad apples and joked and teased with them and took pictures of them, because they had been taking pictures of him, and in general made them very happy. But not me. I and 3 others were at the Unitarian Church in nearby Franklin, where the master was scheduled to speak that night, getting the auditorium ready for his talk. So we missed the whole thing. That night, the master gave his talk, and I'm going to include the beginning and the ending, along with some questions that were asked that night and the answers that master gave. So master said, "Dear brothers and sisters, I am a man like you. Of course, I had the good fortune to sit at the feet of my master, Baba Sawan Singh of Beas, through whose grace I solved the mystery of life. Religions were made by man for his moral and spiritual uplift. These were made for man, and man was not made for them. The purpose of joining a religion is to know God, which is the highest ideal before us. And the human body is the golden opportunity we have got in which we can know him. So all of us who are sitting here, we are fortunate that we have got the human body. And we have also joined various religions to achieve that object of life which we have got before us. We have to see now how far we have succeeded in achieving the object of life which is before us. So I am here not to advocate any new religion to you. Remain where you are, but be true Christians. What did Christ say? Open the inner eye to see the light of God within you. He who sees the light of God is a true Christian. And if you have not seen the light of God, then? We have joined that school, of course, but we have not become true Christians. Similarly, a Sikh is one who has seen the light of God. Remain in the outer forms, that's the first step. To belong, to believe in some religion is a blessing, but you must rise above. If we did not live in any religion, there would be corruption, or we would have to invent new religions. Why don't you stay in the religions which have stood the test of time? If there is any corruption, you see, just leave it aside and follow the true teachings which the masters gave from time to time. So as I told you, I have not come to advocate new religions. Remain where you are. This is the truth which has been given by all masters. Just try to meet somebody who knows the way. We want a teacher in any line, you see. Whatever subject you have to take, naturally sit at his feet. He is your true friend, your true brother. He is competent to give you some experience. And all credit goes to him. No son of man can do it, but the God in him, which is manifest, he is competent to raise you up and give you an experience of his own self, you see? With these few words, I'm glad that I've been here at Sant Bani Ashram for a day. They wanted me to speak something, from what little I know. To the best I can, I have given you a digest of the same in a few words. These words are for your calm consideration. If you've got true hunger, thirst for God, it is God above who has to make the arrangements. He will bring you in contact somewhere where you can be put on the way. So whenever masters come, they see people from the level of the human body or from the level of the embodied soul, not from the level of the outer badges of different religions that we are carrying. That is why his first work is to collect all children of God together, not to blend their religions into one, to let them simply remain where they are, but to rise above body consciousness, to come to the truth, you see? And he has the competency to raise you up and give you the experience within to start with. So, thank you for your patient hearing. And then a questioner says, did the Master say that one day we would reach perfection? Master, yes, there is hope. In the human body, you see, I would say we have got the birthright to be perfect, to know God. Christ said, be ye perfect as your Father is in heaven. If there were no hope, I don't think that he would have given that statement. We are man and spirit. Sorry, we are spirit in man, and spirit is perfect. We're simply environed by mind and matter and other things. When we shake off, we are perfect, you see? And the human body is the only time, the golden opportunity, which we have to go back home. Questioner says, do you declare that when we drop this body, that we take on another one? Master, there is life after death. That is definite. That is sure. I have come from India. I am no more in India, but I'm here in America. There's a transfer from the physical to the astral. I told you from the beginning that macrocosm is in the microcosm of the human body. God has given us bodies to work through the three planes. In the physical plane, we have the physical body. When we shake it off at the time of death, or even if now we are able to shake it off, of course, with the guidance of somebody, you know, who can take us into the beyond, if we shake off all these three bodies, we are souls. God is within us, and we are in God. And the questioner, I still don't understand from how you answered my question about perfection. Master, as I told you, I think if you had understood properly, the man who has got the human body, he has the birthright to be perfect, to know God, you see? Time factor is a necessity. If he's left alone, it may happen in due course. But I will give you the example of a fruit tree. If you leave it alone to nature, it will bear fruit in 6 or 7 years. If you give it some scientific food, it will give fruit in 2 or 3 years. If trees can take some help from outside and give fruit quickly, why can't a conscious man have help from the higher conscious man to bear forth fruit quicker? So there is hope. And another questioner. Do I understand you that after death there will be a rebirth on earth again? Master. Well, you see, my point is some masters have referred to it and some have not. The questioner. Reincarnation? Master. I tell you, some masters have referred to it, reincarnation, and others have not referred to it. The same question was asked of me when I went to Pakistan. Muslims generally don't believe in reincarnation. These people came up to me, so many, and they said, well, do you believe in reincarnation? I told them the very same words that I have now told you, that some have referred to reincarnation and others have not. And then I told them, before I reply to you further, I would like to ask one question from you. I have come to Pakistan. I'm abiding by all the laws of this country. I'm living very lovingly with all. Everybody lives lovingly with me. But with all that, you've got prison houses, police department, and records. I say that there is no police or imprisonment for me. So the masters who have not referred to it say, become true Christians. When you live by God, you love God the most. Where is the reincarnation for you? That is only for those who are attached to the world. You see, that is why some masters have not referred to it. So I think that the human body is the highest in all creation. We've got this golden opportunity, and we can live if we can find God within this human body. So where's the question of returning? And the questioner, I still don't know if I understand you right or not. You do believe in reincarnation? Master, past masters have left their proofs for that, you see. Direct proofs, paper proofs, even incidents they remember from their past births, and that has been checked, too. But not for the souls that have attained God, you see. And a questioner says, It seems that the big difference in this type of talk is the fact that the master is needed. You know, direct contact with a master. So, my question is, who is considered a master? The master says, yes. Questioner, in the United States particularly, I know in India. And master says, whether in United States or not, I think you know better because you've been here all along. I've only come for a trip. Last time also, I only came for a trip. But the point is what the masters say. Who is a master? Who can be called a master? One who sees and can make others see. You see? Who has the competency to raise our souls above the body consciousness, to open the inner eye? And you testify that there is light. He who can give you that experience, who's competent to give you that, he may be called superior to you anyway. If we can rise above our own selves, well and good. A blind man needs two eyes to see. If not, in worldly things we do seek the help of others, so why not in this most important case? The general rule is, man learns from man. The teacher of man is a man. Of course, the man at whose pole that God power is working alone has the power, not son of man, as I told you before. It is the God in him manifested that has the competency to raise your soul above the senses and enables you to see the light and hear the voice of God. All right. And then Master says, all right, you have to go alone. To the best I know, I have placed before you with the grace of my Master. It is for your calm consideration to see how far you can derive benefit from that. And then Russell picks up. There are several noteworthy points about this meeting and this talk. For one thing, about 75 people attended, and the population of Franklin was about 7,500, so 1% of the total population came to see the master. If 1% of the total population of New York City, where the master had been a few days before, had come to see him, there would have been 70,000 people in the hall. If you read the questions and answers carefully, you'll note that Master is not at all clear about whether he teaches reincarnation or not, much to the frustration of one lady who kept trying to get a straight answer. Of course he did teach it, but there's a story behind it. Among the attendees was a man named Gerald Boyce. He was a native of Franklin, and he had worked at the G.W. Griffin Company hacksaw factory much of his adult life as a troubleshooter. He had spent time with the great teacher Krishnamurti in OJ, California. He had been a vegetarian since the age of 25, when a farmer's wife that he was working for asked him to kill a chicken, and he found he couldn't do it. Actually, Gerald had told me that story myself, and he said, I looked at that chicken, and he looked back at me, and I just wasn't hungry enough to kill that chicken. And Gerald had grown his hair and beard long at a time when no one, and I mean no one, did such a thing. And he had two things in his mind about Kripal by way of tests. Did he wear leather? And did he teach reincarnation? Gerald had studied the occult scripture Oaspe for many years, and while that book advocates vegetarianism, it denies reincarnation. And to him, wearing leather was inconsistent with vegetarianism. So when the master came into the hall that night, he was in his stocking feet. He had left his shoes outside. And this was not at all his usual practice, and I noticed it at the time. Then, of course, Gerald heard the talk and loved it. As he told me later, I saw it had an inner logic to it. When the questions about reincarnation came up, what he got from it was that the master didn't teach reincarnation. And by the time that he found out the truth of it, he didn't care anymore. He was totally convinced of Kripal's greatness and got initiated. And of course, the noteworthiest thing of all, the master's reference to Sant Bani Ashram. Before this, our farm had never been referred to that way. And after this, it was never referred to any other way. Judith had ridden to the church that night in the car with the master. And on the way in, he said to her, "Your husband missed everything this afternoon." She explained that I was preparing the hall for the talk that night, and he nodded. The following morning, the master held a group meditation at our now ashram. It was the first time I had meditated since the master had given me back the light 2 days before. And this time, the light was even more intense and more bright. And through it, I caught glimpses of much more. When the master came to me afterwards, I told him what I had seen, and he twinkled. Later, I went up to him and said, "I just want to thank you for that beautiful meditation this morning. I know that I couldn't have done it by myself." He looked at me and said, matter-of-factly, "Well, you missed all the fun yesterday," and smiled into my eyes. Before the meditation started, I noticed that Gerald Boyce, of course I didn't know his name then, had just walked in. The master saw him and said to me, "Now it's time to start. People are arriving." Later, I found out that Gerald had walked the entire distance from Tilton, where he was living, to the ashram in Sanbrinton by way of Franklin, where he hoped to find a cab, but the cab company wasn't open yet. It was a distance of about 15 miles, and when he arrived, it was time to start. Later that same morning, the master was standing behind the big house alone, and I went up to him. "Last night, I heard you refer to this place as an ashram. Judith and I have talked it over, and we agreed that we would like to give it to you." And he said, with great emphasis, "You keep the custody. Maintain it according to my teachings. That's all." And we're going to begin a tape of a satsang that Sanchi gave in Rajasthan, Group 1 in 1988, September 24th, 1988.
Sant Mahatma, Malik de Pyare, Is Sansar de Utte, Koi Samaj Banon Vaste Nii Hunde, O Sade Kole Suniya Sunaiya, ਗੱਲਾਂ ਦੀ ਦਲੀਲਬਾਜ਼ੀ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਉਂਦੇ ਗੇ ਬਲਕਿ ਉਹ ਤਾਂ ਇਹ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਆ ਕਿ ਆਓ ਚਲੋ ਜਦ ਨਾਲ ਚੱਲਣ ਵਾਲੇ ਬਹੁਤ ਘੱਟ ਮਿਲਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਇਸ ਮੰਡਲ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਕੁਛ ਉਦਾਹਰਣਾਂ ਦੇ ਕੇ ਸਮਝਾਉਂਦੇ ਹੈ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਫਾਇਦੇ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਡੇ ਦਿਲ ਨੂੰ ਹਲੂਣਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਦੇ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਸਾਡੀ ਖੋਜ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਆਖਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਹੈ ਔਰ ਉਹ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਨਾਮ ਦੇ ਰਸਤੇ ਤੇ ਪਾ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ
ਸੇਂਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਮਹਾਤਮਾਸ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਟੂ ਫਾਰਮ ਐਨੀ ਨਿਊ ਕਮਿਊਨਿਟੀਜ਼ ਔਰ ਦੇ ਰਿਲੀਜੀਅਨਸ ਐਂਡ ਦੇ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ to take us away from anything. In fact, they do not come in this world to argue with us using the things of the world. They come in this world only to take our soul back to the real home. But those, when the number of the people who follow them become less, using the worldly stories or the parables, they touch our hearts in such a way that we start understanding their words And when they give us the Naam initiation, we are put on the path back to the real home.
Sant Mahatma, ye mission leke nahi chalde ke sade jade sevak hon ya sevakan di ginti vadhaun vaste hi ho. ਇਹ ਮਿਸ਼ਨ ਚਲਾਉਂਦੇ ਹਨ, ਨਹੀਂ ਐਸਾ ਨਹੀਂ, ਉਹ ਸੱਚੀਆਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਗਾਹਕ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਭਾਲ ਵਿੱਚ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਕਿ ਹਜ਼ਾਰਾਂ ਹੀ ਡਾਵਾਂ ਡੋਲ ਸੇਵਕਾਂ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਮਜ਼ਬੂਤ ਇੱਕ ਸੇਵਕ ਹੀ ਕਾਫੀ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਸੇਂਟਸ ਐਂਡ ਮਹਾਤਮਾਸ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਹੈਵ ਦ ਮਿਸ਼ਨ ਆਫ ਇਨਕਰੀਜ਼ਿੰਗ ਦ ਨੰਬਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਡਿਸਾਈਪਲਸ, ਦੇ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਹੈਵ ਦਿਸ ਡਿਜ਼ਾਇਰ ਦੈਟ ਦੇ ਸ਼ੁੱਡ ਹੈਵ huge number of the disciples, because they know this fact that one devoted faithful disciple is worth more than thousands of unfaithful disciples.
Pyareo, e man buddhi da disha nahi, e buddhi de samjhan di cheez nahi, kyunki buddhi vi saadi ghatdi vaddi rehndi hai. ਬਾਲਪਣੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਦੀ ਕੁਛ ਹੋਰ ਸੋਚਣੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਜਵਾਨੀ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੁਛ ਹੋਰ, ਵਡਾਪੇ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਤਾਂ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਹੀ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਦਾ ਇਹਦਾ ਰੰਗ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ ਜਿਸ ਦਾ ਮਾਪ ਹੀ ਘੱਟ ਵੱਧ ਹੈ, ਉਹਦੀ ਤੋਲੀ ਹੋਈ ਚੀਜ਼ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਸਹੀ ਉਤਰਦੀ ਹੈ. ਤੋ ਅਨੁਭਵ ਦੀ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਵਿਸ਼ੇ ਵਕਾਰ ਤਾਂ ਸਾਡੀ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਨੂੰ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਕਮਜ਼ੋਰ ਕਰ ਦਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਔਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਹੀ ਫੈਸਲਾ ਕਰ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੇ ਕਿ ਸਾਡੇ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਕਿਹੜੀ ਚੀਜ਼ ਸਹੀ ਹੈ, ਕਿਹੜੀ ਗਲਤ ਹੈ.
Dear ones, it is not the matter of mind and intellect. This is a thing which cannot be understood with our intellect, because you know that even the intellect is not permanent in its own self. Sometimes it decreases, sometimes it increases. You know that in our childhood, we have a different intellect, we have a different ways of thinking and understanding the things. Gradually, when we become young, our intellect grows. But in the old age, you know that what color our intellect shows to us, and we do not have any intellect left with us. We do not know what is right or what is wrong. So the thing which is not permanent, which is not contained in its own self, how can using that thing we can make the right decision? So this is the matter of experience. This is something which we have to experience for our own self. Moreover, the passions and the pleasures of the world defy our intellect, and it becomes so dirty that we cannot even see what is the right or the wrong thing for us.
Mahatma sansar vich aunde hai, sansar de vich rehnde hai, oh sansar di tarah hi ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਦੀ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹੀ ਆਪਣਾ ਜੀਵਨ ਬਤੀਤ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਮਿਸ਼ਨ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਆਤਮਾ ਨੂੰ ਮਿਲਾਉਣ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਉਹ ਦੇਹੀ ਹੁੰਦਿਆਂ ਹੋਇਆਂ ਵੀ ਵਧੇ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਬੋਲਦਿਆਂ ਹੋਇਆਂ ਵੀ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਅੰਦਰੋਂ ਬਾਤ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਉੱਥੇ ਕਿਸੇ ਜ਼ਬਾਨ ਦੀ ਜ਼ਰੂਰਤ ਨਹੀਂ. ਜਿੱਥੇ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨਾਲ ਬਾਤ ਕਰਨੀ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਜੰਮਣ ਮਰਨ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਪਰ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਜੰਮਦਾ ਮਰਦਾ ਸਾਡਾ ਸਰੀਰ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਤੁਲਸੀ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਨੇ ਕਿਹਾ ਸੀਗਾ, ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਇਹ ਕਹੇ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਸੰਤ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਲਿਆ ਹੈ, ਅਸੀਂ ਕੰਨ ਨੂੰ ਹੱਥ ਲਾਉਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ. ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ, ਦੇਹੀ ਗੁਪਤ ਬਦੇਹੀ ਦਿਸੈ, ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਉਹ ਇੱਕ ਇਸ ਦੇਹ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੋਰ ਵੀ ਦੇਹ ਰੱਖਦੇ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੂਖਸ਼ਮ ਕਹਿ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਕਾਰਨ ਕਹਿ ਸਕਦੇ, ਇਹਦੇ ਉੱਪਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੂਪ ਵੀ ਅਸੀਂ ਕਹਿ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ. ਜੈਸਾ ਜੈਸਾ ਸੇਵਕ ਤਰੱਕੀ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਅਗਰ ਅਸਤੂਲ ਨੂੰ ਛੱਡ ਕੇ ਸੂਖਸ਼ਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤਾਂ ਸੰਤ ਸਤਿਗੁਰੂ ਸੂਖਸ਼ਮ ਰੂਪ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਸਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਉਹ ਕਾਰਨ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਹੁੰਚਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤਾਂ ਸੰਤ ਕਾਰਨ ਸਰੀਰ ਦੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਉਸਦੇ ਸਾਥ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਇਹਦੂ ਉੱਪਰ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਆਪਣੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਤੋਂ ਤਿੰਨੇ ਪਰਦੇ ਲਾਹ ਲੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਤਾਂ ਉਹ ਪਿਓਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ, ਸਾਰ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਜੋ ਸੱਚਖੰਡ ਤੋਂ ਉੱਠਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸੇਵਕ ਦੇ ਸਾਥ ਹੋ ਰਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ. ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਪ ਪਿਆਰ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਦਲੀਲਬਾਜ਼ੀ ਨਾਲ ਜਾਂ ਬੁੱਧੀ ਨਾਲ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਸਮਝ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੇ. ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਅਗਰ ਸੰਤਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਜ ਤੱਕ ਕੋਈ ਸਮਝਦਾ ਤਾਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਸ਼ਟ ਕਿਉਂ ਦਿੰਦਾ? ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਬੜੀ ਬੜੀ ਚੋਟੀ ਦੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਆਏ, ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਖੱਲ ਜਿੰਦੇ ਜੀ ਲਾਹ ਦਿੱਤੀ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਗਰਮ ਰੇਤ ਸਿਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਪਵਾਇਆ, ਕਿਸੇ ਨੂੰ ਤੱਤੇ ਤਵੇ 'ਤੇ ਬਿਠਾ ਦਿੱਤਾ। ਸੋ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪਛਾਣਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ, ਨਹੀਂ, ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਪਛਾਣਨ ਵਾਲੇ ਵੀ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਸਾਥ ਹੀ ਆ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਕਿਉਂ? ਅਗਰ ਪਛਾਣਨ ਵਾਲੇ ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਦੇ ਸਾਥ ਨਾ ਆਉਂਦੇ, ਅੱਜ ਗੁਰੂ ਔਰ ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਦੀਆਂ ਕਹਾਣੀਆਂ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਪ੍ਰਚਲਿਤ ਹੀ ਨਾ ਹੁੰਦੀਆਂ।
ਮਾਸਟਰਸ ਕਮ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ, ਦੇ ਲਿਵ ਇਨ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ ਲਾਈਕ ਦੀ ਅਦਰ ਪੀਪਲ ਇਨ ਦਿ ਵਰਲਡ, ਬਟ ਦੇਅਰ ਮਿਸ਼ਨ ਇਜ਼ ਟੂ ਕਨੈਕਟ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ ਵਿਦ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਲਾਰਡ। ਈਵਨ ਦੋ ਦੇ ਲਿਵ ਇਨ ਦ ਬਾਡੀ ਬਟ ਸਟਿਲ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਬਾਡੀਲੈਸ, ਈਵਨ ਦੋ ਦੇ ਹੈਵ ਆਲ ਦ ਥਿੰਗਸ ਆਊਟਵਰਡਲੀ ਬਟ ਸਟਿਲ ਦੇ ਡੂ ਨਾਟ ਬਿਲੋਂਗ ਟੂ ਦਿਸ ਵਰਲਡ। Outsidely, outside, they might be talking to the people, but in their within, they are connected and they are talking with their beloved Lord. Because the place where they have to talk with the Shabbat, with the beloved Lord, they do not need any body, they do not need any tongue, they do not need any language. Because the place where the Master has to talk with the Shabbat is such a place where nothing of this world has to be used. The Master lives in the physical form in front of us, but He also has some other different forms. That is why it is very difficult, almost impossible to understand the Master. Tulsi Sahib had said that if anyone says that he has recognized the Master, God forbid I touch my ears, it is not possible, because it is not at all possible to understand and recognize the Master. Guru Nanak Sahib also says that the Master has a secret hidden body within the body which he shows to us. Because within the physical form of the Master, there are other forms of the Master which we can call as the causal or the astral forms of the Master. And as the disciple goes on progressing in his meditation, he goes on seeing the various forms of the Master. Now at present, when we are working on the physical plane, we see the physical form of the Master. If we were to leave this physical plane, withdraw from the physical body and go in the within, and start working through the astral body, we would see the astral form of the Master, which is full of light. Gradually, if we would withdraw from the astral form and go into the causal plane, start working through the causal form, we would see the Master in his causal form, which is the form of the Shabbat. From there also, if we would withdraw and go further in the Parabrahm, then we would see the form of the Master as the form of the pure Shabbat. And in this way, as we go on progressing in our inner journey, we go on seeing the various forms of the Master. That is why it is said that it is very difficult to understand the form of the Master. It is very difficult to recognize the Master just by looking at him outside, from the outside. And our intellect cannot help us in understanding the Master, because the intellect itself is something which goes on increasing or decreasing. So how it is possible for us to understand the Master using our mind and intellect? But it is not true that up until now no one has understood or recognized the Master. If up until now no one had recognized the Master, all the stories of love between the Master and the disciples would not have been heard. There are some people, there are the rare ones, who have come into this world, who have gone in the within and have realized the Master, have recognized the Master. But this is something which is a matter of experience. Just by talking about it, we cannot understand it.
ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਸਵਾਮੀ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਉਹ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ, ਅਗਰ ਜੇ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਅੰਦਰ ਦੇਖਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੋ ਕਿ ਉਹਦੀ ਅੰਦਰਲੇ ਮੰਡਲਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਕੀ ਰਸਾਈ ਹੈ, ਕੀ ਇੱਜ਼ਤ ਹੈ, ਗੁਰੂ ਕੀ ਤਾਕਤ ਰੱਖਦਾ ਹੈ, ਸਭ ਤੋਂ ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਕੀ ਕਰੋ, ਫੈਲੇ ਹੋਏ ਖਿਆਲ ਨੂੰ ਸਿਮਰਨ ਦੇ ਜ਼ਰੀਏ ਅੱਖਾਂ ਦੇ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਿਲ 'ਤੇ ਇਕਾਗਰ ਕਰੋ। ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਸੂਰਜ, ਚੰਦਰਮਾ, ਸਤਾਰੇ ਲੰਘ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਅੱਗੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਸਰੂਪ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਉੱਥੇ ਸੱਚਾ ਸ਼ਿਸ਼ ਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਇਹ ਬਣ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਲ ਬਾਤ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਸਹੀ ਜਵਾਬ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ। ਉੱਥੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਪਤਾ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਗੁਰੂ ਕੀ ਚੀਜ਼ ਹੈ।
A hymn of Swamiji Maharaj is presented to you. In this hymn, Swamiji Maharaj tells us that if you want to recognize the Master, if you want to know that who the Master is, what the Master is, and if you want to see that how far the Master goes in the within and what is his glory and position in the inner regions in the inner planes, what you should do, first of all, you should withdraw your attention from all the outside things, and you should concentrate your attention at the eye center. When you will go in the within, and after crossing the stars, suns, and moons, when you will reach the form of the Master, at that time, only at that time, you will become the disciple of the Master, and then you will know what the real glory of the Master is. Whatever you will ask from the Master at that time, you will be answered and you will be given what you will ask for from him.
ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਲ ਤੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਉੱਤੋਂ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼, ਗੁਰੂ ਦੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼, ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੂਪ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆ ਰਹੀ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ। ਜਦੋਂ ਅਸੀਂ ਤੀਸਰੇ ਤਲ ਤੇ ਪਹੁੰਚ ਜਾਂਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਅੰਦਰ ਟਿਕਣਾ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਜਿਸ ਕਾਮ ਕ੍ਰੋਧ ਨੂੰ ਅਸੀਂ ਛੱਡ ਨਹੀਂ ਸਕਦੇ ਗੇ, ਆਪਦੇ ਮਾਲਕ ਸਮਝੀ ਬੈਠੇ ਹਾਂ ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੀਆਂ ਵਾਸ਼ਨਾ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦੀ ਪਕੜ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਹੀ ਢਿੱਲੀ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦੀ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹੜੀ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਅੱਜ ਬਾਹਰ ਇਹਨਾਂ ਪੰਜਾਂ ਡਾਕੂਆਂ ਦੀ ਅੱਗ ਮੱਚ ਰਹੀ ਹੈ, ਭਾਂਬੜ ਬਲ ਰਹੇ ਹੈ, ਜਿਹੜੇ ਹਰ ਇਨਸਾਨ ਨੂੰ ਦੁਖੀ ਕਰ ਰਹੇ ਹੈ, ਪਰੇਸ਼ਾਨ ਕਰੀ ਬੈਠੇ ਹੈ ਪਿਆਰਿਓ, ਇਹਨਾਂ ਦਾ ਖਿਆਲ ਤੱਕ ਵੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਆਉਂਦਾ ਗਾ, ਪਤਾ ਹੀ ਨਹੀਂ ਲੱਗਦਾ ਕਿ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਇਹ ਹੈ, ਕਿਉਂਕਿ ਸਾਡਾ ਪਿਆਰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਲ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਨਾਮ ਨਾਲ ਪੈ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ। ਜਿਹੜੀਆਂ ਇਹ ਵਾਸ਼ਨਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਨਾਮ ਗੁਰੂ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰਗਟ ਕਰਕੇ ਸਭ ਆਪਣੇ ਆਪ ਹੀ ਅਲੋਪ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ, ਸਮਾਪਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦੀਆਂ ਹਨ।
When we reach the Tisra Til or the third eye or the eye center, we start hearing the voice of the Master, which in fact is the voice or the sound of the Shabad, which is coming at the eye center. And as we go on remaining there, as we go on fixing our attention there at the eye center, and as we go on becoming still over there, we start getting in love with the Master, and all the passions, this lust, anger, greed, attachment and egoism, the smell of all these passions start going away, and they stop bothering us. Now you know that it is very difficult for us to leave the smell, the bad smell of all these passions, and we are in the hands of all these passions. But as we go on remaining at the eye center, as we go on becoming in love with our beloved Master, then these passions, the smell of these passions, start going away from ourselves by themselves without having to struggle very hard for it. Now it is very difficult for us to give them up, but when we are at the eye center in the love of the Master, then not even in the state of dream we think about them and we have any problem for them.
Our closing bhajan is on page 214, Sanchi's bhajan, Anake Dvarde Utte Bete Merde Datia. We have come and sat at your door, my giver. Please take care of your souls, my giver. Please take care of your souls. Kal conquers the souls to throw in the hells. He assumes many forms to entangle the souls. O my giver, for God's sake, please hear the cry of the suffering ones and save us. The darkness of falsehood has covered the world. Truth has fled away to the skies. Religion and mercy are terrified and confused. O my giver, during the difficult time, please ask of our condition. At all places, Kal has laid traps which are difficult to break. O Satguru, my giver, gracious to the poor, please save us in the court of the Lord. Hail, beloved Sawan and Kirpal, for you cooled the heat at Ajaib in moments. O my giver, please give darshan to the Sangat. May we never forget your beneficial deeds. We have come and sat at your door, my giver. Please take care of your souls. My giver, please take care of your souls.
Anake devare ute bete mere datia apni aru anu sambal mere datia apni aru anu sambal. Anake devare ute bete mere datia apni aru anu sambal mere datia अपनी अरुआनु संभाल नरका चासुत नेले काल हे वंगार दा रुआ दे फासो ने नुबहुत रूप दार दा नरका चासुत नेले काल हे वंगार दा रुआदे फासोने नुबहुत रूप दार दा वासताई राब दा बचाई मेरे दातिया दुखिया दी सुन के पुकार मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभा आने के द्वारे उते बैठे मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभाल मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभाल कुर तो हनेर जग उते आके छागिया चुप गिया सचे हुदे अम्बरानु दांगिया कुर दहनेर जगे उते आके चागिया चुप गिया सचे हुदे अम्बरानु दांगिया तायते तराम का बराई मेरे दातिया ओके वेले पूछले और सार मेरे दातिया अपनी आरुहानु सांबा आन के द्वारे उते बैते मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभाल मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभाल सारिया जग दे उते पाए फांदे खालने जल जो विचाए तूतने मुहालने सारिया जग दे उते पाए फंदे खालने जाल जो विचाए तूतने मुहालने दार गचे आन के बचाई मेरे दातिया सतगुरु दीना दयाल मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुहानु संभा आन के द्वारे उते बैठे मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुहानु संभाल मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभाल दन किर पाल दन सवन पियारिया धप दे आजाए बनु पला दे विच तारिया दन किर पाल दन सवन पियारिया तप दे आजाए बनु पला दे विच तारिया संगत अनुतार शदिकाई मेरे दातिया भूलिए न तेरे उपकार मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभा आन के द्वारे उते बैठे मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभाल मेरे दातिया अपनी अरुआनु संभाल
We have come and sat at your door, my giver. Please take care of your souls, my giver. Please take care of your souls. May God bless us all.